Hi there, thanks for tuning in. Today I am speaking with Gaurav Sodhi, who is the Deputy Head of Research at Intelligent Investor. Gaurav, good to see you.
G'day Tom, how are you going?
Really well. Now, your specialisation, if you can call it that, tends to be around the resource space, but I suppose given what we're seeing at the moment in terms of financial stability, everything starts from the fabric of financing and being able to transmit funds to organisations so that they can function. Are you worried about anything that you're seeing in the banking space and what that might mean for the resource operators, be it in the northern or southern hemisphere for that matter?
The resource companies have gone through something of a transformation since the big bear market following the China bust. We're talking about 2011 to 2013. Yep. They went through a transformation where probably decades of poor capital allocation and bad operating decisions were overturned. The accountants took over from the engineers and the strategists, and they've been really well-run businesses for the most part for the last decade. So these companies are in great shape. They have huge cash balances, low levels of debt, low cost of operations, very, very efficient producers. So I'm not really concerned about the resources businesses themselves. I don't think there's a risk of implosion or big capital raisings or anything like that. There's no doubt that every time bank solvency comes under question, everything's going to fall. And I think what we learned from the GFC was that there's nowhere to hide. You know, once things get bad, your correlation models, all these fancy mathematics goes out the window and everything is correlated and everything goes down together.
You check out the spreadsheet and it becomes a street fight.
Exactly right, exactly right. And if you expect anything different, you're going against the grain of history. So I am concerned that bank solvency has been called into question. Everyone should be concerned about that. But I don't necessarily think that means it's time to panic. Yeah. Our tendency as investors, I guess as people, is to fight the last war, and the last war of the GFC, I think, is very different to what we're faced with now. So I wouldn't necessarily go to that as an example of what might happen.
Yeah, as a default case.
I'm probably not as pessimistic as a GFC style scenario, but yes, one should be worried, absolutely.
Yep. And what do you use that as a catalyst for perhaps being a little more acquisitive once the opportunity turns up, or do you stay in cash for the next little while? What sort of mindset do you have in that respect?
Yeah, it's my view that staying in cash is a bad idea for most of the time. You never really know when the market is going to turn, and you might think staying in cash is an act of caution, but I think it's an act of great arrogance, actually. You know, you're almost, you're timing the market. You're saying, I'm going to wait until I can see when things are better, and I'll know when to redirect that money. And inevitably, no one does. And that's a decision. If you get it wrong, it's extremely costly. So we're not staying in cash, but I do think you just want to act slowly. You know, buying things, we're acting slowly. Selling things, we're acting slowly. We're not doing everything in one go. We're acting in tranches. And all our behaviors have actually just slowed down. It's like we're caught in that time warp. We're just slowing down and making decisions more slowly just to allow ourselves a little bit more time to reflect the greater uncertainty.
So one of the areas that you've been cautious on has been lithium. You've advocated the case that ultimately everything becomes a commodity and that becomes reflected in the price ultimately. So just rationalize your thinking about where lithium prices are at the moment, what that means. They've come back quite aggressively just over the course of the last 3 or 4 months, haven't they?
They have, yep. And look, I'm happy to say that we've largely missed the lithium boom. We've had investments in mineral resources, which have done spectacularly, but the case there was nothing to do with lithium. It was about the other part of the business. So I'm happy to say that
part of the business.
Mostly the mining services part, which I think is just a fantastic business that most people don't understand, but that's probably a story for another day, Tom. I think everyone gets caught up into this positive narrative about lithium. You know, everyone can see the demand case, and the demand case is inescapable, it's undebatable. EVs are happening, all that stuff is happening. But the use case for lithium, apart from EVs, is absolutely tiny. It's a niche metal, and it's now all of a sudden being asked to grow into a mainstream high-volume metal. And when that transaction happens, when that transition happens, I think you just get a lot of changes in the economics of mining.
Yeah.
And for an example, I look back at what happened at copper. You know, hundreds of years ago, copper was actually a precious metal. It was ranked with gold and silver as a low volume, high value precious metal. But when industrial uses for copper started to appear, mining methods changed, and copper went from being a niche metal to a bulk metal. And now the price, of course, is very, very low. Copper is a cheap commodity to produce, and it's everywhere.
Yep.
And I think that points to where lithium may go in the future. You know, it's been a very small niche market where not a lot of investment has gone into. We haven't engaged in bulk mining techniques, extraction techniques, processing techniques. Science has barely glazed at lithium.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden you've got a rush of capital going into this sector. Mining techniques are going to change, extraction techniques are going to evolve, and you're going to have this explosion of supply. I'm convinced that the extraction costs will fall dramatically. And I think there is an opportunity. I mean, you need a period of high prices to attract that capital. But I think we've seen that over the last couple of years.
But you're talking about themes that have played out over numbers of decades in relation to,
yes.
to copper.
Yes.
We're dealing with, for argument's sake, just to rebut your case,
yep.
you know, the first 5 minutes of a an energy transition.
Yeah.
So I suppose that the value in this conversation is trying to quantify the time period. So
yeah.
are you talking about the next 12 months? Are you talking about the next 10 years or the next couple of decades?
I don't know, Tom. I'm not sure when this transition happens, when lithium goes from being niche to being mainstream, but it is happening now and you can see it happening as well.
Yeah.
We've seen a huge rush of capital into the industry. And I'd say that things just move faster than they used to. You know, back in the days where copper...
It still takes a fair bit of time to build a mine.
It sure does. But to gather the resources to fund the mine, to do the studies on the mine, you know, to extract everything, all this is a lot faster than say, when copper was being
yep.
when going through a similar transition. So
when you're smelting it on a barbecue.
Pretty much, yeah. pretty much, yes. And people are afraid of it, you know. There's been so much evolution. But... I guess my case isn't necessarily to avoid lithium or to warn of a crash in prices. It is just to observe more caution and to act more carefully. It's very easy to see the upside and the demand case, but in fact, the price of commodities is more often driven by the supply side and the flow of capital rather than the demand side. So I'm just a bit more cautious, and I think there's been a flurry of retail investors rushing into lithium. It has all the hallmarks of a classic bubble, you know, lots of IPOs, lots of silly behavior, crazy projects popping up, and lots of investor participation. And those sort of behaviors are one ought to be careful about because they're often associated with big falls somewhere down the line. And we've seen big falls happen already. I think there's going to be a time for lithium. And it's not off my radar completely,
yeah.
but for now, I'm quite happy to sit on the sidelines.
Groove, great to hear your views on what's happening in the financing of resources and indeed your views on lithium. Thanks for your time today.
A pleasure, Tom. Thank you.
And thanks very much for joining us for the Executive Series.